If you think of your finances in terms of stewardship and that God is the rightful owner of all things, you're not wrong. Hi, I'm Rob West. As His stewards, God gives us resources to manage according to His principles and purposes. But God has entrusted to us much more than money and possessions. I'll talk about that today with Jason Meyer, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, our guest, Jason Meyer, is Executive Director of the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing, an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management, and an underwriter of this program. Jason, it's always great to have you with us.
Hey, Rob. Pleasure's all mine.
Jason, it's so easy to forget that we're stewards and what that actually means. So what is your definition and why is it so difficult, do you believe, Jason, for some believers to grasp this concept?
Yeah, no, huge concept. So for me, in my own words, I would say that stewardship is the idea that nothing in our possession is actually ours. Instead, God is the rightful owner of all things. And there's a lot of verses that I think put this clearly, but my favorite is Psalm 24, verse 1, yeah, which says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." And the Hebrew there for everything is, I believe, everything. And so, this makes sense, right? Because God is the creator of all things. Therefore, He is the owner, the rightful owner of all things. And so stewardship is a way of seeing the things that are in our possession as actually belonging to God. And the things in our possession are really God's things, and that He's simply entrusted them to us. We are, you could say, managers of God's things or stewards of God's things. And I think the reason this is so important for us is that it can really free us from a lot of the innate selfishness and acquisitiveness that is so endemic to our lives after the fall. I mean, all of us, you know, are prone to grasp after things and to hold on to them very tightly. But with this stewardship mentality, it can help us be more content with the things that we have and even open our hands toward others in generosity to those that have needs. And so stewardship can be this liberating power in our lives over money, which can be such a powerful force. And when we live in that freedom, I also think that we're kind of putting on display God's power in our lives and the reality of God and His kingdom.
Yeah, boy, I love that picture. And clearly, stewardship then can transform our vision and our lives. But you make the point, Jason, that many times our vision of stewardship is perhaps too small. Explain that.
Yeah, I think in practice, we tend to see stewardship kind of like the following way. So we'll ask ourselves, you know, what has God entrusted to us? So what has God entrusted to me, Jason Meyer? What has God entrusted to you, Rob West? And then what we do is we take stock of the stuff in our lives, our money and possessions. We say, oh, I've got this much money in the bank, and I have a house, I have a couple of cars, I have some investments, et cetera, et cetera. And so we tend to understand stewardship in terms of these specific things that God has placed into our hands, into our immediate possession. And all of that is legit. It's valid. God has entrusted us with these things.
Right.
But I would call that stewardship with a lowercase s or small s, stewardship over the things in our immediate possession. Biblically, there is a much bigger sense of stewardship that I think we have to come to see and understand, and I call that stewardship with a capital S.
Wow. All right. Well, give us a preview. We've got just about 45 seconds until our break when we can unpack this more fully, but what is that bigger stewardship?
Yeah, this is what I would call the mind-expanding stewardship, and it's simply that God has actually entrusted to us, to humanity, stewardship over His entire creation. So we're stewards not only over these specific things that are in our lives that we can place our hands on or have access to. God has actually entrusted His entire creation to our stewardship.
Yeah.
And we can actually see this larger sense of stewardship right in the beginning of the Bible, in the first chapter of Genesis.
Oh, that's powerful. Well, we're going to unpack that. What does Genesis actually say? What is this larger sense of stewardship? And what does that actually mean for us? And how does that apply to our investing? All of that and more coming up with Jason Meyer. Jason is director of the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. And we're talking about a bigger vision of stewardship today. Much more just around the corner. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. What is the Christian life? It's a long obedience in one direction. Colossians 2:6 says, "Continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." Following Jesus is not just a one-time decision. We have to grow in our faith and knowledge of Him, and allow His truth to shape our lives. When we are firmly rooted in Christ, we are strengthened to face all challenges. We also overflow with thankfulness as we recognize all that God has done for us. This is our life, rooted in Christ's love, built up by His Spirit, and overflowing with thankfulness as we follow our Lord Jesus with all our hearts. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit GetAnchor.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Hi, this is Pastor Robert Morris. I'm often asked, how do I grow in my relationship with the Lord? How do I hear God? What is God's plan and purpose for me? I want to personally invite you to join me on Sunday mornings right here on AFR for worship and the Word, and we will discover the answer to these questions together. We'll explore the truths found in God's Word that will help you strengthen your faith and develop a more intimate relationship with Him.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's Cards That Give to Missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Joining me today, my good friend Jason Meyer. He's executive director of the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing, an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management, and an underwriter of this program. And we've been talking about perhaps a bigger vision of stewardship. Just before the break, Jason was sharing with us that, yes, we're stewards of everything that God has created, and that small s stewardship is perhaps what you might typically think about. You are a steward of your car and your house, and maybe you have a 401k. But what about a bigger vision, maybe that capital S stewardship? If God has entrusted to us stewardship of His entire creation, what does that mean for us? And Jason, you were saying we can really see this come to life in the book of Genesis. I'd love for you to unpack this idea for us.
Yeah, sure. So in Genesis, Chapter 1, when God creates humanity in His image, He immediately commissions them to be His royal stewards and to steward everything He made. So in verse 26 of Genesis chapter 1, it says, "Let them, humanity, rule. Let them reign. Let them have dominion." And in verse 28, and subdue the earth. This is stewardship language. And so if we go back to the stewardship question that we tend to ask ourselves, what has God put into my hands? What has God entrusted to me, Jason Meyer, or to Rob West? In addition to the things in our immediate possession that we think about, you know, our bank accounts and 401k and whatnot, we also have under our stewardship, biblically speaking, in the language of Genesis 1, the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, the livestock and all the wild animals and all the creatures that move along the ground. God made all things and then made us the royal stewards over all of those things. This is stewardship in the capital S sense.
Wow. Yeah. And I can see where it's easy to miss this larger sense of stewardship and actually, in some cases, maybe difficult to even believe, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I think we probably hear that list of animals and think, what kind of stewardship do I exercise here? I find a very helpful place to go to understand this is actually in the Psalms again, and we're going to listen to King David. So King David found it hard to believe this big sense of stewardship. So we're in good company. He was the man after God's own heart. He struggled to believe it. So in Psalm 8, we read about David really trying to grasp this and to wrap his mind around this bigger vision of stewardship. So I want you to listen to what he says. He says, quote, "What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You've made them little lower than the heavenly court and crowned them with glory and honor. Now, listen to this. You made them rulers over the works of your hands." So what are the works of his hands? The heavens and the earth. Yeah. "You put everything under their feet." This is a way of saying the earth is our footstool. God has put under our care everything that he's made. So remember what we heard about Psalm 24 earlier. The earth is the Lord and everything in it. Now combine that with what David's saying here in Psalm 8. You've made humanity rulers over the works of your hands, and you've put everything under our feet. Mm-hmm. You see, God owns it all, yes, but God also entrusted it all to us, his royal stewards. So this is stewardship that, in my opinion, is the capital S.
Yeah, that's powerful and an enormous responsibility and, frankly, opportunity. So let's begin to apply this way of thinking, Jason, then to our lives. And let's do that in the area of investing. How do we apply these two ways of seeing stewardship in our investing decisions?
Just like we're kind of prone to seeing stewardship in the smaller sense, in the sense of just what's in our immediate possession, we're also prone to seeing investing in kind of a smaller sense, and that there's actually two levels to stewardship, as we've been discussing, and there are also two levels to investing. So one level of investing is about seeking a good return, and that's probably for most of us the part of investing we're used to thinking about, right?
Sure.
Investing to get a return. On another level, however, investing involves our supply of capital that supports a business. We're actually investing in such a way that it supports a business. Our capital enlarges the work of the businesses we invest in. We amplify their activities and what they're doing in the world. And so we can see that there are these two levels of stewardship and two levels to investing, and these correspond to one another. So let me explain. With the smaller sense of stewardship, we understand that God has put these specific dollars in our care, right? This is smaller stewardship, and we have to be wise. We have to seek to generate a good return on investing through prudent risk-taking.
Sure.
With the larger sense of stewardship, we understand that God has put the entire creation in our care, and we have to be wise, right? We have to seek to enlarge the beauty, the goodness, the provision, the flourishing of the entire creation with every decision that we make. That's what it means to have this larger sense of stewardship. And so in addition to seeking a good financial return, we actually have to seek to generate, so to speak, a good return on God's creation, such that the world is made more abundant and even more the place of delight that he created it to be. And so we have to be attentive to the kinds of companies we're investing in, right? And the impact of those companies on the world, on creation, through everything that business does, through their products as well as their practices. And so you can see in operation these two levels of stewardship and these two sides of investing, hopefully. I have a good friend who's a Kingdom Advisor. I know you know him, Rob. So Lauren Graham out in Spokane, Washington. And he says, good stewardship in investing is a two-sided coin. So I think this is helpful. He says, on one side, it's about seeking to get a good return on God's money. So that's stewardship, small s.
Yep.
And on the other side, it's about what we're investing in and seeking to get a good return on God's good creation, stewardship in the capital S sense. We are stewards over both of these things, right? What God has put into our hands as well as the entire creation. And they have to work together. We can't sacrifice the one for the other.
Mm. This is powerful, Jason, because you're calling us to a bigger vision of stewardship, almost elevating our sights into our role and opportunity to care for and really propel God's creation forward. What does this look like in terms of the day-to-day investments if folks want to lean into this?
Right. I can imagine maybe some folks listening to this and thinking like, oh my word, I have been thinking about how to be wise with optimizing around the risks I'm taking in investing and seeking to get an attractive rate of return. I am not really thinking about stewardship, capital S, and how my capital, when I invest it, is going to support businesses and is actually reshaping God's creation for good or for ill. So how do I begin to go down that pathway? Well, the good news is you do not have to dive in and become this insane analyst, researcher of every business that's out there that you're investing in. There's a whole industry of Christian faith-based investments that has been raised up to really help the church pay attention to both kinds of stewardship, the return side as well as the impact on creation side. And the term is faith-based investing. And so what I've done, if you're looking for some information on this, I've just put together a list of all of the faith-based funds that I know about. We've done this at the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing, and you can download it. So if you're interested in getting this as a listener, you can go to faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. That's faith F-I. So faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. In exchange for email, you'll get a download of just all of these different funds that are out there.
That is powerful. Jason, so appreciate you calling us to a higher vision of our stewardship. Thanks for stopping by, my friend.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Rob.
All right. That's Jason Meyer. Download this today at faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. We'll be right back.
God made his design for marriage absolutely clear. July 6th through the 8th at the Cadence Bank Arena and Conference Center in Tupelo, Mississippi, it's the Marriage Family Life Conference 2023. Strengthen your marriage and your family with Abraham Hamilton III, Dr. Kathy Cook, Miki Addison, and many more. The Youth Apologetics track is back as well. The Marriage Family Life Conference 2023, for His glory alone. Register today at marriagefamilylife.net.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
Hi, this is Miki Addison. Join me, my husband Will, and our kids for AFA at the Ark. We'll also be joined by Wesley and Walker Wildman and their families as we host a mini conference at the Ark Encounter October 26th and 27th. AFA has reserved a block of rooms at the Marriott Cincinnati Airport Hotel, which will be available at a discounted price. Space is limited. Learn more and register at marriagefamilylife.net. And I hope to see you at the Ark.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Here at the AFA Foundation, we help families just like yours shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Chelsea Wildman.
We would love to work with you to see if a charitable gift annuity is right for your situation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
why not reach out to the AFA Foundation team today?
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, it's time to take your calls and questions today on anything financial. Let's turn the corner and address your concerns from a financial perspective. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today. We can talk about your spending plan. Maybe it's your long-term investing, paying down debt, giving generously, maybe discipling your family in this area of finance. Whatever it might be today, we'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Also, a little later in our broadcast today, Jerry Boyer stops by. He joins us each Friday with his insightful analysis on the markets and the economy. We'll find out what Jerry's thinking about here as we round out the week. That's coming up in our final segment today. In the news today, as the debt ceiling stalemate goes on in Washington, although there was some progress yesterday, we'll see how far that gets us. American households are hitting their own debt ceiling. Listen to this. The Federal Reserve Bank of New York is reporting that in the first quarter of 2023, total consumer debt hit a new all-time high of just over $17 trillion. Credit card balances alone are now at just under $1 trillion. We'll cross the $1 trillion mark here before too long. By the way, if you're having trouble making your minimum payments, if you have less than $4,000 in credit card debt, I recommend you snowball that debt. Essentially, what that means is let's start with the spending plan. Let's dial back spending wherever we can and get serious about cutting expenses so that you can free up margin. That excess or margin on a monthly basis is then available for debt reduction. I'd save probably $1,000 in your emergency fund first if you don't have one. That way we can cut the cycle of spending. But then once you reach $1,000, let's take every available dollar. Let's line those cards up in smallest to largest balance, pay the minimums on all of them, but attack that smallest balance first. Once it's paid off, you celebrate that. That's going to give you the momentum, the encouragement to keep going right down the line. Then we go to card number two and the next smallest balance and so on until we get them all paid off. Now, if you have more than $4,000 in credit card debt, we highly recommend you contact our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. They will get your interest rates lowered dramatically and help you pay off that debt 80% faster through that that consistent level monthly payment combined with those lower interest rates available from your existing creditors. This is not a matter of replacing that debt with a new loan. It stays right where it is, but with those interest rates are lowered, it will help you pay it off on average 80% faster. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. All right, we're going to dive into your questions today. Again, a few lines open. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's start in South Dakota today. Hi, Steve. Go ahead, sir.
Hi. It's good to talk to you. First-time caller, and I have a assuming simple question for
okay.
you, maybe.
Sure.
My mother, there's a property that I have siblings, and so we've decided to sell it. And I heard you talk about the step-up. Where there's no capital gains when you sell a property after someone passes away. Now, this is going through probate. And I guess my question is there a time limit? Do you have to sell it within a certain amount of time to avoid hiring an appraiser and that kind of thing?
Yeah, there is not. I mean, that's a permanent step up. The key is that the asset will be determined in, you know, the market value will be determined as of the date of death, and there's a process to that. But if you sell it beyond that and you wait for any length of time and it appreciates, then, you know, you could generate a capital gain by selling it above that new cost basis that was established. If it's done in a relatively short period of time, then, you know, you could defend the idea that essentially it hasn't appreciated. In fact, you know, real estate is declining in value slightly right now, just given the high interest rates and the looming recession. But you will have to defend the market value of the asset at sale versus the date of death and be able to show that it was either equal and therefore there is no capital gains, or if there has been a profit because the profit or the property has appreciated, and that would be based on an appraised value, then you would be responsible for that minimal amount of gain that would likely be there and pay capital gains on it. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does very much. So I was told, not by an attorney or a knowledgeable person, someone that I just know, that you had 9 months, but that is incorrect information.
No, that
right?
Step up
nine
in
months.
Yeah, that step up in basis is permanent. So that is in fact the new cost basis for the property, and then from that point forward, it's just a function of whether you're selling it above that market value as of the date of death or below it.
Okay. That answers the question. I appreciate your information very much.
You are very welcome. We appreciate your call today, Steve. God bless you, my friend. Thanks for being a first-time caller and a regular listener to the program. We're grateful. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We're going to be headed to a break here in just a moment. Elijah, if you'll hang tight, we'll be coming your way just on the other side of the break. And I know other calls are coming in right now. We will get to you as well. The number to call with two lines open is 800-525-7000. By the way, grateful to have Jason Meyer on the program today as we talk about a bigger vision of stewardship. And that bigger vision includes our role as deploying capital, as investors. And I think as each of us, as believers, we need to step back and consider prayerfully our own convictions as to how we want to deploy capital entrusted to us by the Lord as it relates to our investments. And if part of that conviction includes avoiding certain companies or embracing other companies that are promoting human flourishing or even having a kingdom impact, you have an opportunity to look at faith-based investing fund families that would, with intentionality, select investments that align with your values and priorities as of a believer. But it can be difficult to navigate that. So one option is the resource, the free resource that Jason mentioned today, that just has a list of options for what he calls faithful investing. If you want to check out all of these fund families and exchange-traded funds in this space of authentically applying Christian values to their investing, go to faithandinvesting.com/faithfi.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian credit counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian credit counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
I love the cooperation between the gifts that these men have. Ezra was a scribe. He knew the law. He knew what to say. Nehemiah was a leader, and God did a great work.
Nehemiah had a vision. He prayed about it. He exerted leadership and motivated people. And then when the going got tough, he kept on going.
Bert Harper and Alex McFarland, advancing through the scriptures, weekday afternoons at 3 Central on American Family Radio's Exploring the Word.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
God has entrusted his finances to you, and we at FaithFi have designed our FaithFi app to help you live, give, owe, and grow with that perspective. Our FaithFi app is the leading biblically-based finance app. You can manage your money, get top biblical financial resources, and interact with a community of like-minded believers, where you can ask questions, get answers, and share what you're learning. Go to faithfi.com and click the word app to get started.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA upholds the truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are worthy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'd love to hear from you today. We have some lines open for your questions, 800-525-7000. Let's head right back to the phones to Louisiana. Hi, Elijah. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. Hi. Thank you. My question is about putting some money into like a savings account, an IRA savings account, if I could. I have a TSP. I'm retired from the government. I'd like to move some into a savings account because I would like to use the money to buy some property and also take advantage of the high interest if I could. And I just needed some advice on that because I was trying to look around myself for the type of IRA savings account, different banks, and I'm getting kind of confused on that and what they offer and kind of whether or not that should be a way to go or not, but the banks having all the problems a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, makes sense. Just a clarifying question, Elijah. Is the money you'd be putting into the savings account coming out of the TSP?
Yeah, I would take it out of the TSP. And the TSP is, it's low interest. It's safe in there, but it takes a while to get it transferred out on the TSP.
Okay. I see.
And move it. So I'm going to take part of it, not all of it, just part
of it. And so the purpose of putting it out is just so it's readily available when you're ready to make that purchase?
Yes, sir. That's it.
Okay. Yeah. Because the only thing I would say is that, you know, I wouldn't pull it out too prematurely, especially if a portion of what you're pulling out is in the stock options inside the TSP. You know, if like, for instance, you're in the S or the C or the I funds, those would all be stock options. Those are probably down. And so, you know, depending on the time horizon here, if you know you're going to do this in a relatively short period of time, you may, in fact, want to get it out because we've seen somewhat of a recovery in the market this year. And I suspect we will likely, at least based on history, retest our lows from last October once we get into the recession. We've never experienced the bottom of a bear market prior to a recession. It always happens during the recession. So if that's the case, we're probably going to head back down. So if you're pulling a portion from those stock funds and you know, for instance, you're going to make that purchase in the next year, this might be a great time to do it. You, of course, want to talk to your CPA and just factor in the tax implications of that because all of that withdrawal is going to be added to your taxable income. If you're pulling from the I fund because you've got it in a more of the bond type investments, I think those will recover over the balance of this year. So you may want to wait on that. If it's in the G fund, the government securities, it doesn't really matter. You know, then it's really just a function of taxes. Do you want to pay the tax this year or next year? And if for instance, you weren't going to buy that property till next year, your CPA may decide for one reason or another, it's better to wait and pay the taxes on your, you know, and add this to your income in 2024 versus 2023. You all can have that conversation. So I would allow the investment
strategy that is represented by the funds you're pulling out and the taxes to really be the driving force there. Now, once you decide to take it out, after you've considered those items I just mentioned, then where do you put it for safekeeping where you can earn a little bit of interest? And I do think up to $250,000 per institution or per account category with an online bank does make some sense. So I'd probably look at Marcus, M-A-R-C-U-S, Marcus.com, which is the retail side of Goldman Sachs. They'll pay you, 4% plus right now with high yield savings, no fees. You could link that account to your checking account and then transfer the money back and forth electronically. You could look at Capital One 360, or you could go to bankrate.com and search by those banks, those online banks that have the very best rates and terms right now. If you wanted a Christian solution, a credit union that shares your values as a believer, and that was important to you, then I would look at Christian Community Credit Union. You could go to joinchristiancommunity.com. That would be an option as well. But I wouldn't have any problem with a bank or credit union that has FDIC or NCUA insurance as long as you're under that $250,000 limit.
Okay, thank you. And thanks for the credit union. I was going to ask you about that anyway. But I do have it in the G fund.
Okay.
This portion of it pulled it. And so, yeah, I'm going along with that. And as far as looking at the savings, okay, so just taking one with it says FDIC. But I was looking at, too, the question I have is, I was looking to go to an IRA savings account, meaning I can transfer for into an IRA. Is that possible? Because I see them out there, like, some of them stipulate IRA as well. They can handle that. What is the difference? Well, there's a difference. I'm thinking I could just basically laterally transfer it to that bank account. And if I took it out to buy property, then I'd pay the taxes and stuff on it. Is that correct?
Yes. I think the question would just be, what do you have it in? Now, I think the key would be, can an IRA, so you're talking about an IRA, is that right?
Well, I thought I could transfer, an IRA, and I thought I could transfer, again, I'm just looking online and stuff like that. I could transfer from the TSP directly into a IRA savings account.
Yeah.
Can I do that?
Yes, as long as you stay within the IRA, then you're not going to create a taxable event, and then it's just a function of whether or not the what you're putting it in has FDIC insurance. So you're going to want to just check that and make sure you understand what you're getting into.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. I think I got it. I just there aren't that many with the IRA attachment that's to it as far as the IRA savings account. And
yes.
So the other way would be to take it out and then take it out into like a Roth or something like that, and then put it, or just take it directly out, pay taxes on it, and put it in a savings account. Is that correct? That's the only other option?
Yeah,
bank
that's exactly right. So I think then it's just a function of you talking to your CPA to determine which calendar year you want to pull it out in. If you know this is going to be happening in a relatively short period of time, then going ahead and getting it out, adding the tax to your 2023 taxable income is, an option, and you could go ahead and do that now, or you could leave it in the G fund and wait. I think, that's just a function of the timing and which tax year would be more beneficial.
Agreed. Thank you. It's just the G fund takes a month or so to get that transfer out, and I'm looking for property, so I'm not sure that would work when I'm looking for property, and I would have to, have the timing kind of correct on getting the funds out, and then they're putting the down payment on it.
Yeah.
And that's what I was concerned with the TSP, really.
Yeah, exactly. So you're going to want to talk to them and just ask them, how quickly that distribution can take place, because clearly once you've identified the property, you may have a shorter window of time to get that out. But I suspect you would know, in time to be able to make that distribution. But I think the bottom line is FDIC insurance does cover customer deposits held at FDIC insured banks or savings and loan associations, including IRA account. So just make sure you know what you're getting into and coordinate the timing on that and the tax implications of it. Listen, all the best to you, Elijah. We appreciate your call today. And if we can help you further in the future, don't hesitate to reach out. Well, folks, we've got another break coming up here. Joe in North Dakota and Krista in Montana, we're coming your way just after the break. We'd love to hear from you as well. 800-525-7000. Also, Jerry Boyer stopping by in just a bit. We'll look forward to hearing from Jerry in a few moments. By the way, folks, as we head toward our fiscal year end here at Faith and Finance, we could absolutely use your support. We are a listener-supported, not-for-profit ministry. Everything we do happens because of your faithful giving. So whatever you could give, we would certainly be grateful. You can do that at our website, faithfi.com. Just click the Give button. That's faithfi.com. Just click Give. Still more to come on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio just around the corner. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
This is Frank Gaffney, host of Securing America, a program dedicated to protecting the country we love against all enemies, foreign and domestic, to the glory of God and His kingdom. Each weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, we provide insights and recommendations about the most important challenges facing our nation from her most thoughtful experts and patriots. Join me to learn how you can help in securing America right here at 11 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hannah's Heart, a half-hour program specifically designed to encourage Christian couples walking through infertility and miscarriage.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome, but this is a show that says however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White each Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. You can find the podcast at afr.net.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Coming up in just a moment, Jerry Boyer, our resident economist, checking in with us on the markets and the economy. That's just around the corner. But first, Joe in North Dakota, you've been waiting very patiently. Go ahead, sir.
I've got, are you there?
Yes, sir.
I've got a question about long-term care for my wife. She's 50 and in good health. Went to our advisor. He said a one-time payment of $50,000. That would have been okay for us. Looked at the website and had 100% LGBT or whatever that is rating. And that kind of made me uneasy. The advisor said, well, that's just about how they all are. So what do you – I don't know what you think of that thing stuff. We've tried to say, Bill, give you –
Well, I think you have an option to align your values as a believer with all of your decision-making, including your financial decisions, be it your investments or who you work with from an insurance coverage standpoint. And so I would establish your own convictions and understand your values and then look for companies that align with that. I would probably reach out, Joe, to a certified Kingdom advisor. You can do that on our website at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Click find a CKA. These are men and women who've met high standards in character and competence, but they've also signed a statement of faith and they've been trained to bring a biblical worldview of financial decision-making at a professional level. And they could help you select a company that aligns with your values. Just make sure that you let them know that that's important to you and they can work through that process with you. Again, it's faithfi.com. But I like the idea, Joe, if you've got the resources to do it, that you all would offset this significant risk that you have in this season of life related to long-term care. I mean, we know that nursing care can run $9,000-$10,000 a month. And, you know, if something's going to erode your assets in this season, we know 70% of 65-year-olds and older in America will need long-term care for some period of time, probably on average 18 months to 2 years. So offsetting that risk with a policy that can cover all or a portion of that cost, I think, you know, is a great thing as long as you can afford it. So I think now it's just a matter of finding the company that's the best fit for you from a value standpoint and that really is, you know, going to give you a great product. They're committed to this space, you know, and based on your and your wife's health, you know, that they are going to give you an attractive premium offering versus the other competitors. So I would reach out to a certified Kingdom advisor to take that further. Quickly to Montana, Krista, thank you for waiting. Go ahead.
In charitable annuities?
Yeah. You're wondering what they are, Krista?
Yeah, kind of what they are. How does it work?
Sure. I mean, it's a great option. Basically, it's a lifelong contract, not a trust, between a nonprofit organization like the American Family Association and an individual or a couple who's referred to as the annuitant. And basically what happens is you would sign that annuity agreement with the charity. You'd make a lump sum donation and take a partial tax deduction. The charity would then invest that money or through the annuity contract, and you would receive based on a fixed schedule that's determined, you know, by your age and the amount that you put in. You'd receive lifetime income from that contract, and then at your death, the charity receives the balance of the invested funds. So it's a way for you to go ahead and get a tax deduction or a partial tax deduction now on an asset that you have by putting it into this charitable gift annuity that then is converted to income that, you know, would help you cover your expenses for the rest of your life, but then ultimately get the balance of that in the hands of a charity or ministry doing work that you're passionate about to be able to fund their work at your death. So it can be a very effective planning tool if you're, you know, in this season of life and have the ability to fund it.
Okay. So does the amount change or is it just like a set amount, you know, based on how much you invest, you do the, you for the annuity?
Yeah, it's a set amount, and the size of that payment is determined by a number of factors. Your age when you set up the charitable gift annuity, so, you know, younger donors will receive more payments, but they'll be smaller. The amount is fixed. It will never fluctuate or adjust for inflation, but it's also guaranteed. It's backed by the charity's entire assets, not just your gift, and will continue for the lives of, you know, you or you and your spouse as the donors, no matter how well or poorly the investments of the annuity perform.
Okay. That was kind of the second part. I was wondering, you know, what happens if the investment goes down? Obviously, our economy changes on a regular basis, so I didn't know how that would change as well.
That's right. Yeah. So that's guaranteed. So if you want to learn more, a great tool would be the team at the AFA Foundation. You could go to afafoundation.net. That's the American Family Association Foundation. And they're really specialists in charitable gifts, annuities, and could help you learn more about it. You can transfer cash or property, but it's a great planning tool, especially if you want to bless a ministry that you're passionate about. Krista, thanks for calling today. We appreciate it. We've got some other lines holding at the moment, but Jerry Boyer's with us, so let's take a moment to hear from Jerry. Jerry's our resident economist. He's president of Boyer Research. He joins us each Friday with his insightful analysis of the markets and the economy. And Jerry, here we are rounding out another week. I'd love to hear what you're thinking about watching this week.
Well, the stock market returns have been good. It's been quite a good week. I think that's largely been driven by press reports that it seems like there's going to be a vote with a deal on the debt ceiling next week. You know what I think about this debt ceiling stuff, that there's a kind of a sense of which, I mean, government is spending too much, and we need to do something about it. But when you play around with the possibility of default, even in the case of a good cause like controlling spending, that is a high-risk proposition. And so, yes, as we've talked, you know, about market performance, what I've said is, well, usually the Fed's in charge because it's the big investor. But sometimes there are some forces outside that are so big, like the possibility of a bank crisis, which we didn't get. We got it contained, you know, in, with a few regional banks, or the possibility of a default, which would be a huge crisis. At that point, it's almost like there's nothing the Fed can do to rescue you. These things are asteroids, you know, which can be really destructive. And so when it seems like there's probably a deal in place, which will probably not put much of a brake pedal on spending, I'm afraid, but will avoid default, markets seem to have relief in response to that. And I'm kind of divided on this. I was thinking about the story, the account, the historical account we have in the Bible of King Solomon.
Yeah.
First case he had to hear, which showed his wisdom was, well, there's this baby and two people claim to be the mother. And how do you know? Well, we'll cut the baby in half.
Right.
And the true mother would say, I'd rather lose than hurt the baby.
Yes.
And I happen to think that is the only major case that was recorded for Solomon. And the next big event in the history of Israel is the baby is cut in two, which is Israel, the son. You know, Israel's my son. That baby is split in half between two leaders. Rehoboam and Jeroboam. One says, I'm the true leader, and the other says, I'm the true leader, and Israel belongs to me. So I think it's a foreshadowing of that.
Wow.
I know that might be a little bit of a reach for people, but I think if you read it in a sensitive way, you know, to historical context, that comes out. And so what I take from that is anybody who's more, if you're willing to destroy the nation to avoid losing, then you're not the real mother. You're not the real father. You're not the real leader. And so we have to be very careful in these political fights to not do something that's highly destructive. And I think the signal was sent, we're not going to chop the baby in half. We're going to continue. We're going to kick the can down the road. This does not have a good ending, in my opinion, but it doesn't have a bad ending next month. And then markets rallied in reaction to that.
Yeah, interesting. And what a fascinating analogy and insight you have from Scripture on this, Jerry. Appreciate that very much. Jerry, what will then it take for us to stop kicking this can down the road and once and for all address it, or maybe not once and for all, but begin to address it? What do you think that will take?
It would take one of two things: national repentance, revival, and renewal, and not just personal revival and renewal, but a revival and renewal that touches every aspect of life, including public budgeting. Because if it doesn't affect the nation, then it's not really full revival and reform. So if we change as a people and we say, we're not going to steal from our children, we're not going to turn them into serfs, we're not going to have multi-generational obligations to the czar to pay off these debts. It's sinful. It's wrong. We repent of it. And we're going to pay our own way going forward. And we're going to control our appetites and our spending, even if that's difficult. If we did that, I think we could avoid a debt crisis. Or another way is we don't do that. We get the national judgment of a debt crisis with its high inflation and its deep recession, you know, like the European Union got, or, you know, other countries have gotten it worse. Like in the 90s, there was the Asian contagion. We get that, and basically Providence imposes on us from outside the obligation to get our act together. So it's just like in life. If you're going in the wrong direction, there's really only two ways you change. One is you say, wow, I'm going in the wrong direction. I'm going to learn from the painful examples of other people. Or Proverbs says that, well, sometimes a fool won't learn from instruction. You know, sometimes a fool can only learn from getting a beating. Or we wait, we don't amend our ways, and we wait until we're beaten by global markets, so that we're whipped by global markets, and then we repent. We're going to have to repent one way or the other. I say do it voluntarily now rather than involuntarily later.
Well, that was great, Jerry, and you're exactly right. And so I guess the next step is to find ourselves on our knees asking for that revival and repentance at a national scale, because we would certainly much prefer that. All right, my friend, thank you. Appreciate your analysis as always. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
God bless.
That That's Jerry Boyer, president of Boyer Research, our resident economist. He joins us each Friday with his insightful analysis. Thankful for my team today, Pat Montague, Devin Patrick, and Jim Henry. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy church on Sunday and come back and join us on Monday. I'll be here, Lord willing, and we'll look forward to seeing you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.